Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Saints, the cross is a surrender and not so much a struggle. Again, the cross is a surrender, not a struggle. It seems apparent that the struggle comes with living in the flesh, from resisting the surrender. In contrast, quote, "the peace of God, which passeth all understanding," unquote, comes from walking in the Spirit with Christ. Remember, on the cross, Jesus had cried with a loud voice. It says, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into thy hands I commend," or "I submit my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost." Luke 27:46. So then what happened? Notice Matthew 28:6-7. It says, "He is not here, for He is risen, as He said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead." Matthew 28. There, just as Jesus died and was then resurrected, so can it be for thee. So is the will of God for you and I. Notice, after He died on the cross for the sins of the world, Jesus was, quote, risen from the dead, unquote. Could the Son of God have possibly risen from the dead if He were not first dead and buried? Well, of course not. The same is true for you and I, as God will never raise up anyone who is still alive under their own power and self-will. They haven't truly declared from their heart and life that, "Not my will, but thine be done, dear Lord," as Jesus cried out to the Father in Gethsemane. So He only resurrects, God only resurrects those who surrender their lives, their will to Him. They're dead and buried. The cross is the key to walking in the Spirit instead of in the flesh, where you surrender downward at His holy feet the death and burial of your own life, that is, your own will, your own agenda. Then, and only then, God reciprocally resurrects or raises you upward, filling and propelling you with His Holy Ghost. In John 6:38, Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." John 6:38. Have you declared that you are alive today to do the will of God and not your own? Remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the place of the cross, before the cross, if you will, Jesus surrendered His personal will afresh to the Father. He gave His will over to the will of the Father. He knew the absolute trust and integrity between the two, if you will, who are one. Remember Luke 22:41-42. "And He was withdrawn from them a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done," unquote. Luke 22:41-42. And again, friend, have you declared to the Lord today, maybe with hands and definitely heart lifted up in sincerity before the Lord, you may wish to declare afresh today, "Not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. And that's Luke 22. So how to get set free and how to stay free. You ever notice that you can get made or set free and then not stay free? I think we've all probably been there. So are you willing today to truly trust God, to say to him, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I am all yours from this moment forward. I am bought with the price of your very blood, and I live and exist to serve you, Lord, and you alone. So death and burial alone lead to the resurrection freedom that Christ desires to give us. When Jesus rose from the dead, he was free forever again with the Father. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. And in fact, you and I will never be free until we die. Galatians 2:20, the apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. That's Galatians 2:20. And Romans 6:7 says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So we see that truth, that the only way to get free is to die. The only way to be resurrected is to die and be buried. Reading Romans 6 daily is vital, my friends. It's the cross chapter. The King James Bible, Romans 6. See also, memorize and meditate upon Colossians 3:3. And as we read Galatians 2:20, Colossians 3:3 concerning being dead and buried with Christ says, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And boy, what a blessing. I mean, if we're not dead, we're living in the flesh, and it's bringing sin and misery and shame and guilt and every evil thing under the sun. Remember, the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. This is Romans chapter 6. Verse 23. And before that, there in verse 22, here's what the scripture says. Romans chapter 6, verse 22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So as you're dead and buried with Christ, you're dead to sin, you become the servants of God, not the flesh and Satan. And now you have your fruit unto holiness. See, the fruit of the cross, this chapter is all about the cross, is holiness. There's no such thing as somebody who's living holy and is not crucified with Christ. The only way to be holy is to be dead and buried with Christ and raised up into that holiness by the resurrection and power of Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, and it guarantees your resurrection. His resurrection guarantees your resurrection. And that's not only when your body is dead and raised up later. It is every day as you are crucified with Christ. He is raising you up into his holiness. In the end, everlasting will be everlasting life. Leonard Ravenhill said this. He said, the tragedy of today is that the church is pursuing happiness, not holiness. So true. Imagine people who claim to be following Jesus attacking you for exhorting them using scripture to rid their lives of all sin, to be holy as Christ is holy. Looking unto Jesus, as the scripture speaks of in Hebrews 12, a striving against sin, that's all in Hebrews 12, 1 through 4, seeking to be holy is not works salvation. It's the obedient expression of love to the Lord for all who love him truly. And all others are Cainish counterfeits who do things their own way and not God's way. Hell awaits all such people. Remember 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's 1 Peter chapter 1. Now on the topic of holiness, again, Jesus is the way to holiness. Holiness is not the way to Jesus. Remember that. And that happens through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ reenacted in the life of the saint each and every day. Now, remember, Titus 2, 11 through 15 speaks of, without the holiness of God, sin has no meaning and grace has no point. That's according to Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. And remember, the goal of grace is to restore righteousness and holiness in the salvation of Christ, that is, alone. Now, Romans 6 is clear proof that grace and the cross life cannot be separated. They are eternally and divinely inseparable, intertwined, and married together. That is, the cross life, the crucified life, and the grace of God, Romans 6. So when you read Romans 6, keep in mind that the cross life is the clear proof that grace and the cross life cannot be separated. Ephesians 4, 24 says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, let's talk further as we come in for a landing here, a little bit more about the holiness of God, the cross, and the grace of Christ. When the saint ceases to seek after the holiness and purity and righteousness and truth of God, when he ceases to pray, stops reading the Word of God, and gives way to carnal appetites, then it is Satan that comes in. And one man said this about the holiness of God. He says, holiness speaks more to nature than it does conduct. Good conduct is the spontaneous byproduct of the new nature of the new creation man. Through the cross and death to the old nature, we are new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. To preach holiness as conduct, he says, without the new nature, through the cross understanding, is legalism. Let me say that sentence again. To preach holiness as conduct only, without the new nature, through the cross understanding, is legalism. Holiness is actually derived from wholeness, wholeness, meaning the thorough transformation of the whole tripartite man, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, spirit, soul, and body. The quote finishes this way, so many of these holiness preachers today are preaching nothing but conduct under law. Law arouses sinful passions and causes sin to increase, and was given in order to provoke transgressions, according to Romans 7. They, he finishes, are the enemies of the cross, unquote. Another quote here we have is, this goes this way, embrace the cross sufferings, embrace confusion, darkness, sinking and falling, fall into God, hold your pain, marinate in your suffering. If love can't change it, accept it. Present your body as a living sacrifice to death. Death downs and resurrection ups with Christ. Run toward the cross, not away from it, or do not try to escape it. Begin to see bad things you don't deserve as positive things. View everything that happens in life as a win-win. Bad is good. Good is good. Realize that to embrace suffering is to embrace the destruction of your main enemy, the egocentric self. Reminds us of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he's been given a thorn in the flesh. And for this thing, verse 8, I besought the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. So Paul asked the Lord three times to get rid of this thorn in the flesh. But apparently God did not answer that prayer other than to say this in verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That was the words of Jesus. Those are in red letters in 2 Corinthians 12:9. So God did not remove the thorn, but he gave Paul grace or divine enablement, the divine influence of God on his heart, the operational power, the divine power of God to be brought through this season in his life where there was given to him from Satan a thorn in the flesh, and the scripture speaks about in this passage, so that he would not be exalted above measure, was the reason why this thorn was allowed to be given to the apostle Paul, who finishes verse 9 here. Says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. So he cared more about Christ's power and glory being manifested in his life than his own comfort. And then he says in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. Amen. Are we ready to say, Lord, I thank you for these infirmities because it causes me to trust you and for your grace to abound in my life. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So after Jesus saves us, saints, he requires that we continue in his word, in its truth, learning and living it. And that would include the central message of the cross, the crucified life. And if not, we will not continue with him and will fall away, because sin will encroach upon our lives and be given place and separate us from God. It's impossible to be holy as he is holy if one doesn't continue in his truth. And since God is holy, 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 he cannot dwell with anyone who is living in sin, according to Psalm 5:4, Habakkuk 1:13, etc. Notice Jesus says in John 8:31 and 32 and 36, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. Now that you believe, if you continue, that's the same as abide with Christ, to remain in Christ. If you continue, notice that means you don't have to, you still have free will. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So we've tried doing things our own way in the flesh, and we must ask ourselves, has that ever worked? Well, the answer, resounding answer for all of us, is absolutely not. So that never works, right? Now, are we willing to sincerely pray afresh today to say something like, dear Lord, I come to you now in the name of Jesus, asking you to forgive my rebellion for trying to do things my own way instead of your way. This moment, I turn afresh to you, Lord, and asking you to anoint me with your Holy Ghost to the death and burial of self, to cry with you, Lord Jesus, not my will, but thine be done. To declare with the Apostle Paul that I am dead and buried with Christ. My life is hid with Christ in God. And Lord, I trust you fully to raise me up for your eternal glory, to be fruitful in an abiding fellowship and relationship with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, let me encourage you to remember that in Galatians 3:3, we read this, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Think about that. We're born again by the Holy Ghost of God, Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. And from that moment forward, we are to be learning to be led by the Spirit. Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that comes, again, as we said earlier, in conjunction to that cross surrender, that letting go and letting God. In fact, the scripture right before that says, if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Holy Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, there's the cross and the enablement of the Holy Spirit to help us to be crucified with Christ, then you will live. If you are living in the Spirit and led by the Spirit, you will be crucified with Christ. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's also be reminded, Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Isn't it a blessing to know that we have the Lord who saved us, found us, and saved us through the precious blood of Jesus, put His Holy Spirit in us, made us new creatures in Christ, and is now working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We do not work for it. It says work it out, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. And also, Zechariah 4, 6 says that it's not by might nor by power, not by your might or power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several, many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.